Shebala kata prande gede gede banadu. Shapranda kata parutas gede banadu. Lebratus kalle brade gede balakatos yada. Embrekete paradas gede balakos yata prande gede balakos yada bada. Shana kata prande gede belekotas yada banadu. She brandegede barakusta da balakata brandegede beladebo. Lift your voice and pray. Bless him in the spirit. Shande barakata baratos kade brandegedegedegedebo. Mighty God. He labasha brandegede berekusiata. King of kings, Lord of lords. Faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship you. King of kings, are you praying? Shema na 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 bas, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship you. You're the King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God. Raise the bread of life, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who saves. We praise the cup of life, that glorious spring that washes our sins away. Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you, Most High. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you. I know the Lion, I know the Lamb, I know the Lion, Chalabakala Dusya, and I will follow the Lion, I will follow the Lamb, I will follow the Lion. I will follow the Lamb. I honor the Lion.
I honor the Lion. I honor the Lamb.
I honor the Lion.
I honor the Lion. I honor the Lamb.
Bless him in the spirit. Shema lakata brandege barusa dege debelegatusia. Make melodies in your heart. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Ala barata skada brande gede baratu sade gede balakatusia. Rata kaparaga te balakata brande gede balakusia ta. Kade barato skali baraha skade balatusia. The one true God. And Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Don't be distracted. It's part of the meeting. Pray. It's an anointing service for divine preservation. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders have been thrown into the sea. That's going to be someone's prophetic word after tonight. Ah, that the Egyptians I see today, I will see them no more. Indeed, we will sing the songs of Miriam. We will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders have been thrown into the sea. One more minute, you are still praying. You are stretching your spirit man to expand, building capacity. Majesty, we worship you, the God of all flesh, King of kings, Lord of lords. We honor you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every time we come before you, O Lord, we come because we love you. Every time we come before you, we come because we trust you. Every time we come before you, we come because we acknowledge that you are God. And that besides you, there is none other. You are not one of them. You are the only one. And so, Lord, we pray that tonight's encounter will be one that will last for the rest of our lives. I pray that as your word comes, let it come with fire from heaven. And oh God, I pray that as this oil comes comes upon your people, let it usher them into a new season entirely. We declare that forever you will be glorified in this place. For in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Please be seated. My spirit is fired up this night in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of God's word. Please minimize distraction so that you will listen. God is not a herbalist. He walks through his word. Take away your eyes from the oil and look up to Jesus. Hallelujah. The oil came from a plant, and the oil does not anoint until it is anointed itself. Hallelujah. Supernatural preservation. I want to share tonight on a very deep mystery, and then we'll pray. The Lord put it in my heart to help us understand the mystery of preservation, how the saints are preserved, how we are kept supernaturally. Hallelujah. And then to round up with an impartation that is essentially an anointing for preservation, but I can assure you it will not stop at just preservation. Hallelujah. There are drugs that when you take, they are originally meant for, maybe antibiotics, they are meant for certain things, but because of how serious those drugs are, they will go around and also check and verify. Peradventure, there are other things that need to be corrected. Hallelujah. Essentially, it's an impartation for preservation, but I can assure you that the anointing will not see an area that is yet to reflect the life of Christ and leave it like that. So expect that more than being an anointing for preservation, it will be an anointing that first preserves, because that's the prophetic word, but it will extend to every area of your life in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 14. We have a few scriptures to look at, so please do well to be a student of scripture tonight. Write, listen, learn, receive. Isaiah 54 and verse 14. By the way, let me take a minute or two to honor and appreciate everyone. Thank you so much. It is always good to see us in the house of the Lord. I appreciate everyone, particularly a dear friend and a man of God all the way from the United States, Pastor Felix Vamerin. Thank you. He came with his entire family. The Lord bless you. The Lord preserve you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm told we also have in our midst our very own wonderful Prosper Ochimana. Thank you. And he came along with Ima Sings. Am I right on that? Is he here? Let's celebrate him also. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone is special here, and you remain honored in Jesus' name. So Isaiah 54 and verse 14. In righteousness, I'll read four scriptures. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Say amen. Amen. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Amen. For thou shalt not fear. Amen. And from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. Let me announce to you that when we teach like this, it is not only a sermon to us, the principalities and powers assigned to attack are also forced to listen to what we are teaching. Are we together now? So when we are making declarations like this, you are not the only one who is hearing it. Every spirit and every devil and every enchantment and every yoke that is programmed against you is also hearing, because when God speaks, everything hears. Even what is not alive becomes alive to hear him. When God speaks, everything hears. In righteousness shalt thou be established. It says, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror
for it shall not come near thee. Scripture number 2, Psalm 79 and verse 11. Psalm 79 and verse 11. This one is a very powerful one. I want you to shout amen in a way that shuts the door of the grave over your life. It says, let the sign of the prisoner come before thee. It says, according to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those who are appointed to die. Preserve those who are appointed to die. Listen. I wish I were teaching on something else. I can spend the whole night teaching you this. That there are actually people who are walking on earth today alive, but they have been appointed. Like I give you an appointment and I say resume next year. You are already appointed, but your resumption is next year. It means there are people walking today. They have been appointed, but the date has not yet come. But in the realm of the spirit, it is done already. Can you imagine such evil in our world? That there are people, it's a different thing that you just stumble and die. But that there are people who are alive now. If you check the realm of the spirit, you will not find them among the living. They have been appointed to die. When you have been appointed to die, anything can kill you. Anything. Anything can kill you. Please keep that scripture there one more time. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. Let me declare over someone here, for you and for your loved ones, every manifestation of darkness that has vowed that you will not see the end of 2021. This is Koinonia, this is the house of God. I cancel that evil report now. I cancel that evil report now. Listen now. Preserve those appointed to die. When they give you an appointment, you have a right to reject it. Is that true? You can appoint me now and say you want me to be minister of something, and I can say, no, I'm not interested. That means if you are given an appointment and you keep quiet, it's a way of receiving it. Shalakatoski atabata. That anyone that digs any pit for you, that you will not live to live the fullness of your life, I decree and declare, like it happened to Haman, so it will happen to them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. How many evil works will God deliver us from? He said from every, regardless how it comes, regardless by what means it comes. He says the Lord shall preserve, deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by your side, and 10,000, you're saying amen. Listen to what you're saying, amen, over. 1,000 shall fall by your side and 10,000 by your right side, but it shall not come near thee. Yeah. Verse 8. Only with thy eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Yeah. Listen, you see, in this kingdom, let me just put this as an introduction. In this kingdom, we rise, we reign, we thrive, and we excel on the strength of our knowledge, the depth of insight that we have. I was so blessed when our auntie and our mother, the woman who came and gave a testimony about the fact that she no longer had a need for fear because light came by the Spirit of God. Believe me, a believer who is in ignorance, not ignorance of what he or she wants, ignorance as to the way God designed this system, that person will live a defeated life, perpetually defeated life, even if that person is already in Christ. Because this kingdom is a kingdom that is activated through knowledge. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him that has called you into glory and virtue. He says, wherefore has he given us this great, according as his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. It says, whereby, next verse, he hath given us these great, exceeding, and precious promises. Go back to the scripture that you had put. That should be verse 4. That by this you might be, how did he put it now? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by this ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It takes knowledge to walk in the reality of all that the Bible says you are and that you have. Just knowing that you are this and that you have this is not sufficient. You must have high level spiritual illumination. God does nothing outside of his word. He does nothing without his word. Are we together? Let's define preservation. We're discussing supernatural preservation. To preserve, I'll give you a general thought and then we'll have a standard definition for it. To preserve, there are three thoughts that are captured in the idea of preservation. Number one, to preserve means to maintain something in its original state. When we say you are preserving something, it means that you are about maintaining that thing to ensure that the original state is not compromised. So we say you are preserving a person or a thing to the degree to which it remains in its original state. Number two, to preserve gives the idea of stopping from corruption or decomposition. When we say something is preserved or you are attempting to preserve something, it means that you are stopping it from corruption or decomposition. We preserve food by using salt, by putting in the refrigerator, all because we want to stop it from corruption and decomposition. The third thought that gives us an expression of preservation is to keep alive and to make something lasting. So when we say you are preserving, that means you intend to keep that person or that thing or that idea alive. The intent is to keep it to last. So preservation has to do with securing a thing in its original state, stopping it from corruption and decomposition, and then to keep it alive and to keep it to last. That already gives you an idea of what God wants to do tonight. Are we together now? Three very powerful. There are many expressions of preservation, but in my study, these three caught my attention, and they are the foundation for our discussion. That when God says he wants to preserve me and to preserve you, it means that he wants to maintain you in the original state that he designed for you to function. Number two, to preserve you from corruption and decomposition, anything that makes for deterioration in your life and your destiny. And then number three, to keep you alive and that you will last. He wants our fruit to abide. Hallelujah. Let's define preservation now. The standard definition. Preservation is defined as being kept from the reach of danger, harm, tragedy, and losses. Preservation is defined as being kept from the reach, defined as being kept from the reach of danger, harm, tragedy, and losses. Being kept from the reach of danger, being kept from the reach of harm, being kept from the reach of tragedy, and being kept from the reach of losses. We live in very disturbing and very turbulent times. This is no news to anyone who has been alive for at least 1 year. Are we together? It takes that short a time to know and to see and to appreciate the evil that is in our world. The Bible did not leave us in the dark as to the fact that even though God intended for the earth to be an expression of his love, because of the presence of an adversity and an agenda that is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-believers, the world has today become, from a spiritual standpoint, of course with a material expression, a place of evil, a place of doom, and the saints in light need to receive superior spiritual orientation to know how to live in this kind of world. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, a few scriptures to establish the fact that the reality in our world today is that wickedness and evil seems to be on the rise. And Jesus did not leave us in the dark. He said when the times are coming close, that we will see the rise and the prevalence of these kinds of things. The Bible says, and we know that we are of God. And the whole world, it didn't say the northern part of the world. It didn't say the impoverished part of the world. He didn't say the underdeveloped or the developing part of the world. He says when it has to do with wickedness, that the whole world lies in wickedness. Like you say that your mattress lies on a bed. The whole world literally lies in wickedness. The whole world. So whether you travel to Europe, America, China, the Caribbean, Africa, the Bible lets you know that wickedness has stretched itself and it can get that far. Number two, John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus is teaching now. And Jesus himself mentions the idea of Satan, the adversity and the arch, the adversary of man and the arch enemy of God and everything kingdom come. He calls him here the thief, not a thief, the thief. The thief cometh not. You have no business seeing him around your life and destiny and family and finances, but for to steal and to kill, not all to kill. He's not going to choose anyone. He will do all of them. To steal and to kill and to destroy. So he's not coming to steal or kill or destroy. He will do every one of them. Can I tell you this? There is something about Satan. Whatever you see him doing in your life is not the last thing he intends to do. I assure you, Satan has the determination of a bulldog. If you see him touch your finances, do not make a mistake that will end in only your finances. That is only the starting point. That is why you do not wait for him to advance before you crush his head with the word of God. There are many people who allow the attacks of darkness to stand until it gains ground. Then we begin to come up with a fire brigade spiritual approach. The Bible lets us know that we can, in fact, that's the next verse. Let me allow the scripture speak for itself. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Apostle Peter is teaching us now. Are we learning tonight? Let's read together. If you can see, it's projected. Ready? One to read. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may. Apostle Peter gives us in a very graphic representation the ministry of Satan. That means you never truly see him sit down doing nothing. He says, be sober. Then he says, be vigilant. Be vigilant requires that you are discerning. Be vigilant requires that you are alive in the spirit. Keep that scripture, please. It says, because your adversary, the devil, here he describes for you vividly who Satan is. Satan is not your friend. He's not your neighbor. He's not one who just doesn't like you so well. He calls him your adversary. Your adversary means one who is determined to bring you down if allowed. Satan has a determination that has never changed and will never change towards you. There is no manifestation of love in Satan. It is not possible. Are we together? So the reality of our world today calls for this level of spiritual understanding. To know how to preserve ourselves. It was the psalmist that told us that when you get up in the morning and as you walk around your environment, there are arrows that fly by day. Did you read it in scripture? You may not see it with your optical eyes, but it does not mean it is not there. It says there are the pestilence, the disease, the destruction, the spiritual arsenals. I've shared with you here about people who go to bed. And they have dreams. I don't know how many of these sets of people I've prayed for in my lifetime. Where someone will inject them, maybe for instance, say, I'm holding a syringe. This is HIV. Inject them in the dream. They will wake up feeling a slight pain and just sweep it under the carpet. Only to find out a few months later that they have physical HIV. Not spiritual HIV. I know someone who was slapped in the realm of the spirit, slapped in a dream. He woke up with the mark, I stand before God and I lie not. The mark, like someone slapped him physically. I know a gentleman who I once prayed for. He was deaf on one side of the ear and he was not born that way. What happened? He had like someone was calling him and he answered. That was it. Like someone is calling you and you say yes and you don't hear anything again. Paul said there is as it were many voices, and he says none of them is without significance. You are in for an experience this night in the name of Jesus Christ. Our world is a wicked world. Come to terms with it. Our world is an evil world. Come to terms with it. Now, this is not to plant fear. This is exposing you to the fact that in truth, we are not alone. The Bible speaking about Jesus himself was speaking and he said, while men slept, he says an enemy came and planted something. Satan is also a farmer, that when God plants joy and peace and love and advancement, while men, because all men sleep. Sleeping there does not just talk about backsliding alone. The reality of your human nature. While men sleep, Satan comes and he sows what you do not remember when you were awake. You went to bed with your legs walking well. You get up in the morning and you don't know where this is coming from. Look at our dear auntie and sister who shared the testimony. Father died of cancer. Uncle died of cancer. You see the devil attempting. Let me tell you this sincerely. Please try to believe me. Don't think that Satan has some personal reservation for you just because he has not come. He is trying to attack those who will help you first before he comes. I don't mean to scare you, but believers must learn this. There is a lot of spiritual ignorance in the body of Christ. We lack the understanding of the way these things work. And you know, sometimes in a bid to not open people up to demonology and, you know, the dark world and so on and so forth, most believers think that once you begin to talk about this, the structure and the operation of darkness, you are negating what Jesus has done. No! For you to be an effective driver, they teach you about accidents. They tell you that there is fire extinguisher in your car. The person who created the fire extinguisher would wish that you never use it. Is that true? If believers must be matured, we must be exposed to the whole counsel of God. And that includes knowing what to do at times like this. Hallelujah. I was told one time, true story, that someone was driving on high speed in the night. It seemed to be like a foggy road. So he just had his lights on fully. And the next thing, it was like darkness just came upon him. He did not see where he was going. And the last thing he heard was a head-on collision with a tree. And according, he survived it, even though he had serious injuries. And he told me, he said, I'm not a bad driver. I tried to turn my steering. It did not turn. Literally, until he went, because it was dark, he was not seeing anything. You think that is lack of professionalism? A man who has been driving for 10, 15 years? The whole world lies in wickedness. What of someone who is the only child of a woman and is done from school, graduated with a first class, on his way to go back home, and a bike man just comes out from nowhere and crushes him and he dies? No, sir. Allah supranda gabarusi yatakali baradus. I once heard a man of God, I was listening to his teaching, and a man of God was sharing he was teaching particularly about this scripture of those appointed unto death. And he said how that someone was going to rush to fly into another nation, and then he missed his flight, and he heard that the plane crashed. And he was saying, thank God who I was preserved. And then he now took train, and he still died. The train crashed again. You see how that is? Appointment unto death. What of the one whose son drank, I don't know what it is that the son drank, went to the kitchen and just felt like helping himself and drank something that he should not drink and died there, thinking it was water. Not to scare you, but respectfully speaking, how about doctors that made mistakes and administered a treatment to someone that should not be? It was when the person was almost dying that they now discovered, I've been making a mistake. Let me correct it. And by that time, you know, the damage control could not be done again. I hate to tell you this, but we live in a wicked world. You don't have to hurt anyone. You don't have to look for anyone's trouble. There is a vendetta that predates your existence. You came into, it was in the middle, you are in the middle of an ancient story. Because we live in a world where if you are not taught and mentored and you do not sustain high-level spiritual intelligence, you will find yourself speaking things like, who did I offend? No, that's not the condition for attack. Being born is. The moment you are born, you have qualified to receive an attack for Satan. And look, Satan killed children. He didn't give them babies. He didn't give them a chance to even grow. Satan believes everybody who comes on the earth is a threat and a risk. He does not have to wait for you to grow. He does not have to wait for you to rise. He does not have to wait for you to manifest. This is the reality in our world today. And right now, sadly, with the prevalence of terrorism, the pandemic, and all kinds of things, People live in fear perpetually. Fear of everything. You are out alone. Now you are afraid. Because there are people who are determined to see to it that they continue to oppress the peace and the liberty of people. How about travelers? When people travel, people have lost businesses owing to the fear of the customers who patronize them. Night travel used to be a great blessing to many people because they walk throughout the day and they just sleep their way through the journey. But right now, people will endure all kinds of things because they are not prepared for what will happen in the middle of a forest alone with evil people whose conscience have been seared with hot iron. Brothers and sisters, people of God, we must understand the kingdom keys are located for our preservation if we must survive today's world. Hallelujah. Yes. There are people who have had the opportunity to eat certain things, and after they ate, they found out they were poisoned. Some died, some survived. The way the world was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago is not the way the world is today. And we believe that we are the light of the world. We believe that we are the salt of the earth. But I can tell you, until the church comes to that state where prophecy becomes experience, we must have knowledge of these truths to be able to stand and to last. Did you know that many young people now, the moment they become successful, they become afraid because it looks like there are some spirits that only wait for people to be successful in families to kill them. Once you are not successful, you can remain alive provided you are suffering. But let God lift you to any position that is notable. Then you start seeing strange and wicked and devilish patterns. I've not done any series on deliverance this year. By God's grace, we'll leave that one for next year. It's important we have some of these strong foundations and then we deal with it. In that series, by God's grace, I will open you up to some of these things so that you will understand. It's not to plant fear. We already have victory in Christ, but you must learn, you must know. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, you lift my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. There are territories where people don't live long. You see the territories, the oldest person there can be 50 years or 55. Why? Because there are spirits that destroy people. The moment you are celebrating your birthday, 50, 51, those altars are activated and you find healthy people who have no track record of sickness, mysteriously falling sick, falling ill until they are destroyed. How about those who you only see the old men? You don't see young men in those territories because the young men is as though they are exchanged for the life of the old men. It's almost a risk to be successful in our world today. Your fear is not to maintain the success. Your fear is to remain alive. There are people today who don't travel to the village. No matter what happens, your house is on fire, they'll just send police there. They will not go to the village by themselves because they know that if they arrive there, someone will come and say, you have 4 children now. Congratulations. And that's it. That congratulations you have received there. By the next day, you wake up with headache. After 2 days, your son who was taking first position, the next exam that will be the cheapest, this boy will return back with something that you cannot understand. I'm saying this so that when I show you the keys and as this oil comes upon you, you will know what to pray and you will know what to reject from your destiny. By the way, when it's time for this anointing, please, plus babies and everyone, let it come upon the head of everyone. And if you came here with your bottle of anointing oil also, I will pray on it and declare over it, not to idolize it. Hallelujah. I came from a region, ministerially speaking, where I studied the history of ministries in that region. And please help me celebrate Reverend Akila. Blessings to you, sir. So honored to have you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, I came from a region where it's almost as though ministries do not survive up to 3 to 5 years of relevance. There are people like that. Businesses or ministries don't survive. After 3, 4, 5 years, something must happen and bring the ministry down, bring the business people down. So you see a lot of people whose yesterdays were better than their tomorrow. They will tell you, once upon a time, I was the this and that. And you are wondering, so why is it so? Because the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light. That means the best of you should never be behind you. Are we together? Preservation. Being kept from the reach of danger. Being kept from the reach of harm. Being kept from the reach of tragedy. And being kept from the reach of losses. I know someone who, I think they were looking for a criminal, and for some reason he looked like that criminal. Yes, true story. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. This is not a joke. True story, not a parable. It really happened. And for some reason they were checking people and they saw the face, and you know how intelligence people do it. There was a almost a 60 to 70% semblance. And that was how this gentleman's life went into trouble. For doing nothing. For looking like an evil person. There are people who look like the children of rich men. They were never blessed and rewarded for looking like them. They would look like... And then you now look like an evil person. And get into trouble for that. He wore a black dress. It looks like what you wore. Preservation. I want to share with you for tonight very quickly 5 keys. 5 keys that can activate supernatural preservation over an individual, over organizations, over territories, over families. Please, I want you to learn this and add it as a collection of the kingdom mysteries that you have. These are the arsenals that make for our victorious living in the kingdom. And for all of you who are following across the globe, please pay attention, because these truths have equal value in any nation and in any region. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Pray in the spirit, please, in 1 minute. Lord, I desire knowledge. I desire knowledge. Open me up by your spirit to these truths. Open me up by your spirit to these mysteries. Open me up to these truths. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God. Open me up to these truths. Someone, you are learning this not just for yourself. You are learning it so that you can go back as an ambassador of power, of grace, and to liberate so many people who have been bound. Those connected to you either by blood, those connected to you. It takes spiritual illumination to bring liberty. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set you, make you free. In Jesus' name I pray. Key number one, very quickly. The first key, according to the revelation of scripture, that is responsible for activating supernatural preservation is the new birth experience. Please write it down. You have to encounter Jesus in the new birth experience if you desire supernatural preservation. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start our reading from verse 19. Then we'll jump to chapter 2. from verse 4 and 6. The Bible lets us know that Paul now was praying over the church in Ephesus, that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power. We are still reading. No, go to next verse. I'll tell you when to jump to verse 2. Next verse, please. Which he wrought in Christ. When did he wrought it in Christ? When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That means the resurrection of Jesus came with an implication that is an advantage to the believer. Are we together now? The Bible says far above. Please help me name them. Number one, principality. Number two, power. Three, might. Four, dominion. And then every name that is named, not only in this world, it doesn't matter what planet, what galaxy, what space, it does not matter. He has been exalted as Lord and Christ above them all. Far above. Far above. This is the indestructible life. It is the realm we have been elevated to by Christ. Now, chapter 2 from verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Next verse, verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together. Someone shout together. That's the revelation. Shout together. Had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And then verse 6. And had raised us up together. Hallelujah. He has raised us up together. And made us to sit together. Three togethers. Number one, quickened us together. Raised us together. Made us to sit together. Location in heavenly places. But listen, this will only remain a recitation until you have encountered Jesus the Son. Coming to church does not save. Having a Christian name does not save. Are we together? Being around Christians does not save in itself. You must encounter the Son of the living God. You want to be able to rise and activate divine supernatural preservation. It happens at the instance of the new birth. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 4 and 5, please. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 4 and 5. What is the implication of this new life that we have in Christ? For whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever means you and your business and your career and your destiny, whatsoever, provided it is born of God, has within it capacity that overcomes the world, and that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Here is a word for you. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It doesn't get clearer than this. Who is he that overcometh the adversary? Who is he that overcometh situations and circumstances? But he that believeth. Whenever we talk about the new birth experience, most people think it's just an initiation into a religion founded by a man who was called Jesus. It's more than that. The encounter with the Son of the living God, the Bible tells us, Jesus was speaking and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of the ways, not one of the truths. Not one of the lives. I am the way exclusively. The truth and the life. It says, no man cometh to the Father except by me. Are we learning something? The new birth experience. Inasmuch as we love and continue to love all those who have not met Jesus Christ or are not interested in that relationship with Jesus Christ, we will continue to love them most assuredly and most sincerely. But I tell you the truth, and I submit to you by the authority of God's word, except by the mercy of God and then the covering that comes from other believers. But on their own, anyone who is not saved, Satan has legal access over their lives. Did you get that now? That anyone who has not experienced salvation through Jesus Christ, Satan has unrestrained access to that person. So key number one, you want to activate supernatural preservation, you must be a recipient of righteousness. According to Isaiah 54 and verse 14, still on point one, and righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. There is a nature that you have received. Number two, the second key that is responsible for activating supernatural preservation in the life of a believer is faith in God. In addition to being saved, in addition to your encounter with Jesus, the Son of the Living God, you must have faith in God. It is only those who walk by faith that get God's kind of result in this kingdom. Four times in scripture, as you know, let me just give you for reference. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Four times in scripture. The first is Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Just write it down for reference. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Next is Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The third is Galatians 3:11. And then the fourth is Hebrews 10:38. All of these four scriptures, Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, Romans 1 and 17, Galatians 3 and verse 11, Hebrews 10 and 38, all of them tell you the just shall live by faith. Those who have been justified, saved, declared righteous on account of the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, that now when it has to do with living, they will live by faith. I have defined faith again and again, but I would not stop defining it for every time there is a need for it. Faith is your conviction, the assurance and the depth of conviction and persuasion that you have about God and the integrity of His word, backed up by your action of obedience to prove that you believe. That is faith. Faith is not just believing. Believing is part of the equation of faith. You can believe and still not have faith. So faith is the name given to the action of obedience that you take based on your conviction of who God is and the integrity of His person. This is Bible faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Very quickly. The Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, Koinonia, listen now. It says, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep, say preserve. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So by faith, you commit your life, your destiny, your finances, your family to God, and you know that He is faithful to preserve against that day. Are we learning? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. Hebrews chapter 10. Did I get that? 10:39. There's a scripture I'm looking for. Let's see 38. Okay. Yeah, that's true. No. Give us 39. The Bible says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. There's a version that says unto the preserving of the soul. You believe unto the preserving of the soul. Hallelujah. You can believe unto preservation. You can believe unto salvation. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the preserving of the soul. Next scripture. Psalm 16 verse 1. Psalm 16 verse 1. I'm giving us scriptures that let you see that if you want to activate supernatural preservation, it will happen at the instance of your faith in God. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we have chosen to trust in the name of the Lord. Therefore, preserve me. It's a prayer. Preserve me, O God. Why? For indeed do I put my trust. Unto thee, O Lord. You know that song? Do I lift up my soul? Unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Powerful song. Give us that scripture again. 16 verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust. Psalms 86 and verse 2. Psalms 86 and verse 2. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusted in thee. Not your servant that is serving you. Not your servant that loves you. Preserve the one who trusts in you. You can be working for God and not trust him. You will be surprised to see that even though you love him, but because you have not, through light and faith, activated these principles, your life may not capture that experience of preservation. Number three. Now I love number three. Are you ready? The third key for activating supernatural preservation is encounter with light. Your encounter with light. Put in bracket the word. When God was restoring creation from decadence, the first thing that happened was the restoration of light. Let there be light. And there was. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 11. Proverbs 2 and verse 11. It says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Say light. We are kept on the strength of the discretion and the understanding that we have. We are both preserved and kept by light. Oh, this is where I want to challenge you, dear beloved people of God. You must make up your mind as a lifetime project that you will fight ignorance. You will fight spiritual ignorance from your life. Because for as long as you remain in the darkness of ignorance, no matter how sincere and how well-meaning you are, Satan will continue to prevail over you, even though you are in Christ. For the Bible says, "An heir, for as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all." That means the experience of a child, a spiritual babe, and one who is a slave, completely not even in the faith, will remain the same provided there is no light. Psalms 40 and verse 11. God is speaking to us. Psalm 40 and verse 11. It says, "Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." Not just your loving kindness, your loving kindness and your truth, that they preserve me. If you do not understand the principles of the kingdom, you will be surprised how many things will happen in your life and destiny that should not be, all because of the prevalence of ignorance, spiritual ignorance. Everybody say light. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus himself made a very prophetic statement. Please give it to us. He said, but he answered and said, this was Satan now after he tempted Jesus, it is written. Remember, everything that is written because it should not be changed. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So when it has to do with your living, extends to your preservation, because part of the definition of preservation is to keep you to last and to remain. You will need the word of God. So men live principally by bread, earthly nourishment, and by divine words, the word of God. If you have bread and you do not have the word of God, you will still die. Light. Let's look at one scripture. Psalm 91, where we read earlier, and verse 4. Psalm 91 and verse 4. Please give it to us. It said, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I continue to see to it that week in, week out, we are exposed to the various dimensions of the light of God's word, because you only arise and you shine because your light is come, not because you are tired of sitting. Arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Light is powerful. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness. Please give it to us. John 1:5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I've given this example many times. Let me give it again. That if a room has been left dark for 10 years, follow my illustration, please. And then another room has been left dark for 5 years. Another room has been left dark for 1 year. Another room has been left dark without light now for 1 month. And then 1 week. And then 1 day. And then a few hours. If you connect all of those dark rooms to the same switch, the moment you switch on, you put the switch on, which of the rooms will come up first? So light does not have respect for how long the darkness has been. At the instant the light comes, it means that even if it has been 100 years of captivity, the moment the light comes, you can be sure that a 100-year-old problem will live like the one that started this morning at the instance of light. Did you get that now? Very powerful. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. When the devil wants to waste your life and destiny, let me tell you one of the things that the devil does. He exposes you to any other thing but light. The Bible says that was the true light. That means there are false lights. You can be exposed to a body of truth that carries a semblance of light, but in the realm of the spirit does not sustain the power to bring you true liberty. The Bible says that was the true light that lighted every man. If it is light, it does not light some people. If it is genuine light, when the power holding company brings light, it doesn't on for only Yoruba people. It doesn't on for only Igbo people. It doesn't on for only Hausa people. It doesn't bring light for only Europeans and Americans. Everyone provided is light. Any light that lights someone and cannot light another is not true light. He said that was the true light. That means there are certain spiritual truths that only seem to make sense to a certain group of people and not to others. That is not true light. If it is true light, it sustains the power to give illumination to all who are in the room, not some. It says, no man can light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a lampstand and it will give light to everybody who is in that room. The power of light. You have to be equipped with the knowledge. The knowledge of who you are and the knowledge of what you are able to do in Christ. Your positional advantage. Your advantage by reason of relationship. Is that true? And then be exposed to all the arsenals of victory that have been given to the believer in Christ. You are not going to manufacture any weapon of victory just by yourself. They are already there. They are spiritual arsenals. Light. So number one, the new birth experience. Then walking by faith. Then being exposed, an encounter with light. That means you have to sit down. Listen, this truth you see is sold. So you have to buy it. You don't just receive the truth. The Bible says you buy the truth. The idea is that it will cost you. You use honor to buy the truth. You use passion to buy the truth. These are currencies. You use discipline to buy the truth. It says in the latter times, some will not endure sound doctrine. You can use endurance as currency to buy the truth. We live in a world where, inasmuch as God is a God of speed, our idea and our obsession for sharp, instant manifestation has brought a lot of ills and woes to many sincere people. Let me tell you the truth. When it has to do with walking in kingdom power and authority, it will take time to understand the ways of God. You're not going to just browse through scripture, check one verse or the other, or just download the top 10 scriptures, just read them very carelessly with half of your heart thinking about something and expect to walk in victory. No, it will take time. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. It says, do not let them depart out of your mouth. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those who find them. That means not everybody will find them. They are life to those who find them. And the law of finding is everyone that seeketh, findeth. Are you learning? Light. Please obtain grace this night to damage every spirit of laziness that will not allow you to stay with God's word. Can I tell you? Thank God for morning devotion. Thank God for the little 5-10 minutes. It's supposed to prime your life spiritually. But let me tell you sincerely, if you want to survive these end times, please look at me. Let me leave this Bible to remind some of you that you've not held it in a very long time. The Lord is mercifully but seriously speaking to you that if you throw away this Bible, carry any other thing else, it's only a matter of time. Your life will nosedive in a way that you will be surprised. When Satan came to Jesus, your Jesus, his weapon of defense was light. It is written. Not I want, not mind your business, not there is this wise saying. It is. Many people challenge the realm of the spirit and the arsenals of darkness with wise sayings. Quotes. The devil does not have respect for those things. The only thing that sustains the power to compel his obedience is that which is written. Are we blessed? Number four, is God speaking to someone? The fourth key that is responsible for activating supernatural preservation is the prophetic. Please pay attention now. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13, the prophetic. Please read with me. Ready? One, two, read. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. There is supernatural preservation that is activated by and through the ministry of the prophetic. Many people have downplayed the prophetic and justifiably so, because sadly, we men and women of God across the globe have not done the kind of justice that should be done in properly administering the prophetic for various reasons. And so people have abused the prophetic, people have stretched the prophetic beyond its jurisdiction of relevance. And so many people, in anger to those mismanagements and misuse, have thrown the prophetic, just folded it and threw it away. Anything prophetic, they say, go away. The word is enough for me. You are right, but you are wrong. You are very wrong. And you see, in the realm of the spirit, you are not told you are wrong by saying you are wrong. You are told you are wrong by the disaster that follows your being wrong. Do not neglect the prophetic. Just because there have been mistakes, there have been all kinds of things around it. Can I tell you sincerely, one of the assignments of a true prophet of God sent to people is to be an instrument of preservation. And principally, that preservation comes, number one, through words. In fact, let me give you, go to Hosea chapter 12. Let's start from verse 10 or 11. Just, it says, I have spoken by the prophets. How did I speak? So God also speaks by the prophets. Principally today in the New Testament, the primary channel for his communication is through his word. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in time past by the prophets, had in these last days spoken to us through his son. But he did not say only his son. In order of priority, his son. But in addition to the speakings of the word, the ministry of the prophets. Prophets here does not just mean those in the prophetic office. The prophetic meaning the ministerial office mandated to speak into your life and to activate preservation. I have also spoken by the prophets. He says, and I have multiplied visions. I have used similitude. All by the ministry of the prophets. This is where prophetic actions came from. That sadly has been abused. But within the boundary of scripture and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, there is the ministry of the prophetic. Anointing with oil, speaking over your life, and every prophetic instruction that is consistent with the character of the Christ. Are we learning? Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. Powerful scripture. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, take note, one saith, destroy it not. Why? For there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake. That means the same way you carry a cluster with wine and someone just wants to carelessly pour it, and then someone says no, he prohibits it and said destroy it not. There is an advantage in it. God is saying that is what I will do when my prophets declare over you and say destroy her not, destroy him not, because there is something in their destiny that the world still needs. Are you getting that now? As wine is found in the cluster, as one saith, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. That means everything that carries a blessing should not be destroyed. But it takes one who says, destroy it not. That is the ministry of the prophetic. That you can draw a spiritual line and say, Satan, thus far have you come. No further shall you go. Over this family, over this destiny, over this business, destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. Psalm 102 and verse 20. The ministry of the prophetic. The Bible says to hear the groaning of the prisoner. This is part of the ministry of the prophetic. And to loose those that are appointed to death. To loose those by the prophetic. that when you hear the groaning of the prisoner, you are given the grace and the power to loose those that are appointed unto death. Without the ministry of the prophetic, there are many dimensions of the kingdom experience that believers would not be able to step into. Now, do not get into that illusion of, I know God alone, I don't need anybody. We've corrected it many times here. In order of priority, your knowledge of Jesus and your passion to Him should be greatest, more than any man. But in addition to that, God has put systems and structures in this kingdom. The Bible says the foundation. Jesus Himself is the chief cornerstone. But Jesus is not the foundation there according to the scriptures. The foundation is the ministry of the apostolic and the prophetic. Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. You can get it right with the cornerstone and fail in the foundation. When the rain comes and the winds blow, you will see that the house fell, not just because of the chief cornerstone, but because of the foundation. Destroy it not. Even Jesus Christ, you've read, we've discussed it many times here. Jesus Himself walked upon the earth, and He would not start His ministry until He encountered a total of 3 prophets. Jesus Christ, in His entire ministry, encountered 3 prophets who ministered to Him, not just those who were there. The first of the prophets was Simeon in the temple. The second was Anna the prophetess. The third was John the Baptist. It was after His encounter with 3 prophets that He could now start ministry. If He had started ministry neglecting that, He would have been surprised. It was Simeon that held Him and spoke to baby Jesus. Anna the prophetess had been praying Him down from heaven. And when she saw Him, she said, "You are here because I prayed, though. It's not just because Mary knew how to push well. I prayed you." So while Mary was shouting, you don't read in the Bible that Mary put her hand on her head and was almost dying. It's not because the midwives helped her well. It's because there was a prophetess who was on her knees in the temple commanding that the word must become flesh. So when the Bible says the word became flesh, don't cheapen that statement. It happened at the instance of the prophetic. The word does not just become flesh because it should become flesh. It becomes flesh because it is the Spirit and the Bride that says, "Come." Knowing what should be does not make it happen. It will take your encounter with the vessels ordained and anointed by God. Now, the balance there is that you don't go ahead worshiping Apostle Joshua Selman and worshiping prophets and apostles simply because of the position that they hold. It is an election of grace. This is the balance. Most people, knowing the excellency of the authority and the power that has come with this office and the ministerial office generally, will use it as an opportunity to put God's people on in bondage and threaten people with all kinds of curses and say, "Oh, no, 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 a curse, causeless, will not stand." Mm-mm. If you are affected by it, it's just ignorance. Before a curse works, there are rules of engagement in the realm of the spirit. It has to check that there is a defaulting that authorizes it. And remember that the prophecy of scripture, you want to make reference to my teaching. Sadly, it's an audio. I've not done any video version of it. Why prophecies fail. I'm sure next year, God will grant grace. These are some of the series coming in next year. I taught years ago why prophecies fail. The prophecy of scripture is the highest and noblest dimension of prophecy. It is written, is greater than I saw. It is written, is greater than I heard. In the beginning was the word, not was a voice. The voice only came because there was the word. Are we together? But within the boundary of balance, within the boundaries of doctrine, and within the boundary of scripture, the prophetic is powerful, and it holds one of the keys to releasing and activating divine preservation. And that's why as prophetic declarations come tonight, that that fire will come from this altar and land on someone's destiny. And you see, the truth is that words don't die. That means the word does not just come as you are saying, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word remains on you. Even when you are 30 years old, the word remains. The word does not know, the word does not get tired. It stays. If the word was declared to preserve you, it will not stop working until you are preserved. Because it must return to the one who sent it. And it's not a man that sent it. It only came through us. Holy men wrote as they were inspired of the Spirit. Are we blessed? The prophetic. So let's do a quick recap before I talk about the fifth. Number one is the new birth experience. That in redemption there is provision to be lifted above thrones, dominions, every name that is named. Number two is faith. Your faith in God. You have to walk by faith. The faith walk is not for a particular movement of faith, a word of faith, or Pentecostals or charismatics. Faith walk is for every believer. Number three is the power of light. That is a major one. Generally speaking, your excelling in the kingdom is light dependent, not dependent on emotion or dependent on the gravity of the pain or the sorrow you are going through. It is light that liberates. Number four, the prophetic. Number five, are you ready now? The anointing. Yes, the anointing is one of the mysteries that activates the operation of preservation. Psalms 105 from verse 12 to 15. Psalms 105, 12 to 15. Please give it to us. Psalms 105. It says, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. We're reading to 15. When they went from one nation to the other, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not those whom my anointing has come upon. He didn't say, touch not my people. When it has to do with preservation, there is something, the presence of the anointing upon their life is a mark and a seal. Was it not a mark upon Cain that was the curse that God gave Cain? God did not flog Cain to curse him. He said, I will put something upon you. And Cain said, this is too much. Because of the mark that is on me, every man who sees me, this mark will make every man who sees me to kill me, reduce my burden. That means there is a mark that can come upon you and can make everything that sees you to leave you in peace. There are times you are pressed, you are running to go and use the restroom, and just when you are almost colliding with the door, you see a notice there, out of service. You painfully have to turn back and look for another place. A mark was put there to warn you that no matter how pressed you are, your being pressed is no excuse to open this door. Is that true? There are times you want to open a door and you see closed, or you want to go to a place, you see a sign closed. The anointing, among the many things it does, is it marks you. There is a statement that the anointing makes on your life that the realm of the spirit understands. One of it, according to this scripture, is touch not. Provided you are not his anointed, that's all right. Do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. Are we together? Untimely death. Touch not my anointed. Accidents. Touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. Isaiah 10:19. Part of the ministry of preservation is to break wicked yokes that are already hanging Isaiah, did I get that right? Look for it for me. Broken because of the anointing. 27, huh? Yes, 10:27. I think I confused it with Luke 10:19. And it shall come to pass in that day. Somebody said, this is the day. That his burden, he never said God's burden. So whoever put that burden has life. His burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck. Satan has burdens and he has yokes. They are not the same, but they do the same thing. It says the yoke shall be destroyed. Not because it has been there for a long time. It didn't say it shall be destroyed because you are tired of having it hanging around your neck and your shoulder. It shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Therefore, as this oil comes upon you this night, I want you to expect and believe that any yoke, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden. Hold on. I hope you know this idea of yoke and burden did not come from Satan. Yoke and burden just means a responsibility and any constraint. Jesus is saying, in following me and in living for me, you will have these things, but mine is easy and it is light. And Satan said, from that formula, let me invent something. And his burden upon your neck and your shoulder traps you in one place so that any evil thing can come to you, turning you to an animal. But it says it shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Why am I sharing this with you? So that as you make contact with this oil, you don't just think, oh, in church as usual, Pentecostals have come with all these their things. Okay? Mm-mm. You can do this and from a standpoint of religiosity and it will have no life. You just made yourself oily. And yet the realm of the spirit will not respect it. You just live as an oily version of yourself with everything remaining there that was there before you came. But someone shout, no way. The oil will remain on your face, but the fire will enter the realm of the spirit and search for anything that is not of God. I assure you by my God, who is your God, that everything hanging on your neck, hanging on your shoulder, by this encounter with this anointing, it must fall off from your destiny. I hear the chains falling. I hear the pain falling. I hear the burdens falling. Ah! I see the yokes falling. I hear the burdens falling. Hallelujah. When I was growing up, fridge fell on my head one day. And if you want to know, was it fridge or something? I can't remember where I was. I think it was somewhere in school. And fridge fell and landed on my head. So imagine carrying something like that, but not gently, that it fell on your head. That's how many people live. Perpetually, spiritually. How can you make progress when you are carrying this kind of yoke and burden? Something you can do for God in 1 month takes you 5 years because there are yokes. Are we together now? When there are yokes and burdens, automatically you know there is no speed in your life. That's for sure. Yokes are real, oh, my dear people. Burdens are real. And those who help that gentleman, those who downplay them, pay the price with them. There are ministries that can carry burdens and yokes. You can be anointed and blessed, but there is no visibility. There are individuals, there are families, there are careers that carry yokes. There are individuals who are smart and blessed and graced. At their level of intellectual sacrifice, they should not be where they are. But they continue to sweep the ground of life because there are yokes. Been in Zaria for a very long time, many of you who are in the north, there are donkeys that carry load. Many times, you know, because of the northern context, most of their transportation is largely maybe farm things. They carry through those oxen and the rest. And sometimes you can see those donkeys, they can put grains, put whatever, just touch it on them. And something that can run so fast, faster than a human being, is now limited because it's carrying something maybe even twice the size of it. That means the pace you are going in life is not the true expression. Not the true expression of God's desire. But that there is something hanging on your neck. Hanging on your family. Help that gentleman, please. Now listen. I want to share with you a scripture. Something happened to me. I think it was day before yesterday. I woke up with this scripture. I just saw it like that from the dream. And I knew God wanted me. That is the key scripture that is for this impartation tonight. 2 Samuel 1:21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain, follow closely, upon you, nor fields of offering. He said, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Do you know what this means? That means that the shield, he was trying to explain something, and he said, look at, that was the same place where the shield, the system of protection of Saul, fell as if he was not anointed. That means if you are anointed, some things should not happen. Are you getting me now? It says, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. How can the shield of a man that was so anointed fall by the wayside just like that, as if there is no divine backing on him? I woke up with this scripture. That means there are some things we need to cancel this night. Please pay attention. I sense a strong anointing here because there is by instruction God said we should put this special anointing service. Why should that family just go down as though they were not anointed? Was Saul not anointed? But when the anointing left Saul, look how he died. That's what he's saying there. That the anointing is a preserver. There is a diplomatic immunity that comes with being anointed. When they are rejecting everyone, they reject you too like the rest, as though oil did not come on you. I remember some years ago, I was praying for someone. And they said everyone who prays for the person, you know, something tragic seems to happen to the person and the person can even die. People had died, at least two or three people before that time. And, you know, they were cautioning me to be careful. You know, they just said, please, Apostle, we love you. Just be careful so that this thing does not backfire. And with every sense of love, I turned and I looked at the person who was talking with compassion. And I said, that's the thing. You see, you people, what you are looking at is this frame. You really believe. It's like saying a president just dies. All you see is not all there is. A governor just dies. A general in the army just dies. Just because you saw him walking alone and playing golf, you believe that all he's holding is just the golf stick and the golf and his playing. You may not understand the systems of immunity that surround him. Listen to me. Beloved, when you come into Christ, activate these other forces and then you back it up with this anointing. You can find rest. That it is when the devil is looking for blood for the ember months, for December, it is minus me because there is an anointing upon my life. Listen. Now, I know this is an emotional point because things have happened around you, but let God be true. Make up your mind by the Spirit of God. That all those spirits that appear to you, they won't allow you go to bed. For God's sake, God gave sleep for rest. But there are, as soon as you put your head up, there they come again. Coming as all kinds of things. Taking you back to secondary school. Taking you back to primary school. What business do you have going back there? Help that lady, please. Alasana kaparoka diabada. Kaprente keparakatusiata. Keta kaparoka tus kepedekatia. I like your spirit to be fired up because in the next 10 minutes, we are going to step into a season of prayer. First. And hear me. Many of you, as you pray, in that prayer, you are sending an alarm in the spirit. Enough is enough. Enough of living in fear. What if I die? What kind of life is that? You can't be effective living in fear. What if I die? What if I'm kidnapped? What if something happens? There has to be a system of safety. Hallelujah. Listen to me. This man talking to you is not stupid, though. I have received all kinds of prophetic words for many years. Be careful with your life. Be careful with this. We saw them kidnapping you. We saw them doing this. We saw this one planning to kill you. The person talking is not stupid. Believe me. If you don't engage this thing, you will live in fear. Because the reality that surrounds you will be so real. Let God be true. Listen, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, please give some of my people the mic. I need these guys to pray with me. Worship team, give your mic. Let's have a few people go and pray. We are going to be praying and set this place on fire for the next 10 minutes. Are we together? Maybe let's have 3 or 4 mics. There's still more people. And we are going to pray. As you are praying in the spirit, you are opening up yourself. Tired of this limitation. Tired of living in fear. Tired of living by any, whatever it is, by the power of the word of God. Now go ahead and begin to pray in the spirit. Are you praying? By the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 79 and verse 11. I want us to confront the spirit of death. Psalm 79 and verse 11, please. Media, are you helping us? It said, let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those appointed to die. Listen, we're still praying preservation. You're going to pray for you, your children, and all who are connected to you, that the fullness of your days you will fulfill. And any embargo of death hanging on you, it must give way right now. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? In the name of Jesus, we curse you by the God of heaven, by the word of the Lord. Pray over your children. Pray over your family. Pray over your loved ones. In the name of Jesus, preserve from death. Preserve from the sword. Preserve from the hands of evil and wicked men. In the name of Jesus, 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 hallelujah. Please hear me. You are going to pray and cover everyone connected to you. Mention them by name and declare that under God and by the word of God, Satan, you have no hand over their life. Whether in death, whether in tragedy, they are preserved. Lift your voice and pray. Mention them by name. He said, as for me and my house, call your mother, call your father, call your siblings, call your spouse, call your children by name, declare over their lives, prophesy preservation. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, don't be tired, we are praying. Hallelujah. You are going to declare that if there is any mark upon my life and destiny attracting tragedy to my life, that was what came upon Cain. And Cain cried. He said, by reason of this mark, anybody who sees me will harm me. You're going to lift up your voice and pray that if there be any strange mark that came by ancestry, that came by bloodline upon my head and my destiny, attracting tragedy, in the name of Jesus, it is erased by the blood of the Lamb. Go ahead and pray. It is erased by the blood of the Lamb. Every marking of darkness, erased by the blood of the Lamb. 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 Every mark in the name of Jesus, every mark upon my life, upon my family, upon koinonia, for tragedy, for evil, by the blood of the Lamb, it is erased in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, please don't be tired. Two more prayer points. Don't be tired at all. The Bible says the spirit is willing, even though the flesh is weak. Don't make bargain with a destiny defining moment. Now you're going to pray that every pattern, whatever you saw happen to anyone and is now gradually coming to you, every pattern of failure, pattern of trouble, pattern of untimely death, that seeks to come to me, my children, my family,
I cancel it by the blood. Lift your voice and pray. Give it low, Papa. Challenge
Hallelujah. 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 Now, listen. This prayer we are going to pray is going to produce profound miracles. Listen. In the lives of people. I know what I'm seeing in the realm of the spirit that is making me tell you this. Some of you may not believe the prayers, but that's all right. But I want you to pray. Do you know there is an average of 6 to 7 in every 10 people that have this mysterious encounter with spirit husbands, spirit wives, strangers that come to people while they are sleeping? They come to molest you. They try to sleep with you, plant all kinds of things in your body. Listen, as I'm praying now, many of you, the kind of deliverance that will come, this has been responsible for the barrenness of many people. If many people are to be open, they will tell you. A job is supposed to open up for you. You get to bed in the night, here comes that experience again. Someone comes to sleep with you, molest you, or some kind of dehumanizing experience. And you wake up with a plethora of tragedies. During our discussion on deliverance next year, I will teach you some of these mysteries. There are imbalances to them that continue to plant fear in believers. I understand. But believe me, within the balance of scripture, I can tell you that there are orchestrations of darkness that try to latch onto men. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy ways. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. I shared with you my own experience. The person talking to you is not in ignorance. I was already in ministry. And yet this spirit will come. Mine is just to come and oppress me. And because of the prophetic, I would see them. I would shout Jesus in the name of Jesus, blood of Jesus, as a man of God. Don't think I'm talking nonsense here. I understand these things. Many of you, because of the stigma around church, you may not have the courage to open up to say, look, I am going through this. Some of you have you feel physically like a man or a woman coming to sleep with you and do all kinds, and you find out that there are repercussions spiritually. We're about to pray. My God, I'm just in fire in this place. This is what I'm saying. Listen, hold on. Just help those under the anointing, because fire is falling here for sure. Say after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every spirit
that is not of the Christ,
in and around my life,
I decree and declare
by the mystery of the blood,
let there be an eternal separation.
Live my life, my destiny forever. Open your mouth and pray. An eternal separation. Every stranger latching onto your body, every spirit coming to you, using the faces of men,
the verses of animals, creatures, to molest you and oppress you by the blood. Eternal separation. Help them, help those under the anointing. I command that spirit. You must go. Go with the sickness you brought. Go with the infirmity you brought. Go with the tragedy you brought out of my destiny. In the name of Jesus. 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 I'll make the declarations, the prophetic declarations, after the impartation. Please, let just a few information now. Let me have your attention. Those who are following from wherever, whatever nation, if you have an anointing oil right now as we proceed into this prophetic phase of the meeting, you can do well to come with your bottle of oil. We'll just speak over it and you can use it. If you do not have an anointing oil, that's all right. You can just stand by faith and just believe. In case you are watching from a region where that is not possible, it's not about the oil. The oil is only an emblem. It's about the understanding and the application of faith. Hallelujah. Psalm 89. We'll start from verse 20. Please project it. Psalm 89. Can I have a few people? Just bring this closer to me. Please, guys, come. Carry the table. Some of you carry the bottles of oil. Let's do it quickly. Just bring it closer here so that I pray. You have to hold it so that it doesn't fall. Some of you hold it. Bring the table. It says, I have found David, my servant. Thank you. And with my holy oil have I anointed him. It says, with whom my hand shall be established. We are reading to 29. My arm also shall strengthen him. Next verse, please, very quickly. It said, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. He said, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. You know what the days of heaven is? Trouble free. Trouble free. I will make his reign like the days of heaven. All by the anointing. I will take away what? The same way when Satan, as Lucifer,
tried to raise his ugly head, in an instant he was judged. And there has not been any record of any rebellion as revealed by scripture or the ministry of the Holy Spirit known to us in our dispensation. There is perfect order and perfect peace. He said, I can make a man's days like the days of heaven. That means when wickedness and when any evil arises, the same way Lucifer was judged, it is judged instantly to give you rest. The Bible says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and by all means. By all means. This is ordinary oil, dear people. But I can tell you, it is not ordinary when hands are laid on it. Because you see, this ministry that we have received from the Lord, it's not the ministry of men. It was not an ordination of men. This ministry is a call that has a throne in heaven that backs it. Are we together? When God calls a man genuinely and sends that man, there are four things that characterize a genuine call. Number one, there must be a mandate and a message, a representation of the dimension of God committed to you. Number two, there must be divine backing. God must prove that he sent you indeed. Who shall I tell them had sent me? Moses said. He said, as you go, go with this consciousness. And even tell them if the need arises, I am has sent you. God sends them, and the Bible says, the Lord walking with them, confirming the words with signs following. Number three, if God truly sends you, God gives you resources. The chiefest of resources, men. Then material resources. It is impossible to be genuinely called and walking in keeping with the patterns you were given and lack human resources. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. And then number four, the fourth thing God gives you to validate his call is he gives you a platform. A platform is the avenue that gives you visibility so that the nations will know you are there. If these four things do not happen to you as a called person, go back to a retreat. It doesn't mean you are not called. It means there are things you need to flog out, whether the call genuinely or the pattern. A mandate, the divine backing, the resources, and the platform. My life has been full of encounters. I minimize talking about encounters because the faith of God's people should rest upon the integrity of Scripture more than the personal experiences of men. And because number two, our encounters are very subjective and they are largely personalized dealings, except where they are consistent with the universal operation of God as revealed from Scripture. So when you emphasize encounters, even though you may be well-meaning, you can delve people away from the integrity of Scripture, and they now begin to build their Christian experience after the blueprint of your personal experience. And that will be dangerous for those who are not called to walk in your pattern, because you will now create a template that is not scriptural and force people to conform to that mold. And if the yardstick for marking their spiritual progress will have to be the degree to which their lives are a semblance to yours, that is unscriptural. No one is given the unique privilege of setting up a pattern. We receive it as given by God. And even though we have our personal work, we exalt the patterns of Scripture above any other personalized dealing so that we can go out of the zone of imbalance and all kinds of superstition. If I have a revelation by vision and the Lord asks me to dip my hands in this anointing oil, and I do it and I make it look like that is the only way God administers the anointing, because you love me and you believe in me, you will go back to your homes and start doing it. Soon it will now become a doctrine. You will start teaching it in Bible school, that if you really want oil to be anointed, put your hand in it. I'm just giving that as an example. And sooner or later, you find out that people now, because of the excellency of the result that comes from it, you now believe that any other person who is not doing it that way is not getting it right. Every time I'm carrying out prophetic acts or doing these things, I take the time to explain it because I'm speaking to our global family, number one. But number two, to help the body of Christ, especially younger believers coming. So that in learning and in looking at us and learning from us, God will use us by His grace to correct some of the mistakes that our generation of ministers made in following the fathers. We follow the fathers sincerely, but many of us did not stay with the Holy Ghost to be able to know what dealings were personalized dealings and what dealings were doctrinal. So we just shipped everything, and you see all kinds of confusion that is happening in the body of Christ today. Many of you are here not only to listen, you are here to draw inspiration. And within the time that God has given us to serve His purposes, I owe you by God to as much as possible provide as accurate a template as possible. Are we together? Anointing oil is completely useless on its own until it is anointed by a vessel that has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Number two, the anointing oil is a mystery that the Bible is not silent as to the fact that the oil can be used. It is one of the emblems that can be used as a transmitter of the power of God. So we are going to pray. And here's how we are going to do it. Now there are so many people, thousands of people here. It's going to be quite, I would require and pray that we'll be fast. Ushers and all kinds of people, God grant you grace in Jesus' name. So that those who will fall under the anointing, I don't know how we are going to do with them. But in the name of Jesus, God will grant us grace to be orderly. In Jesus' name. Now here's what will happen. Aside from maybe all those who are in front, one person, those who are in front here are guests. One person can just move with the oil and then that, or I will even do that one myself or so that we save them the burden of doing all of this. But then there will be three people like in this auditorium now. Those up the balcony, just remain where you are. There is a system to get the oil to you. Because it's not going to be funny if for any reason you fall from the balcony and all of that. We want to save ourselves that kind of thing. And then those outside will have people stationed, the overflows down to the basement, and then the overflow outside. And then if you came with your own oil, don't worry. When I'm done, I will speak over it. Those following, like I said, from your homes, your offices, your devices, don't worry. If there is nothing there, just agree by faith. And then you lay your hands on your head and it will still work. Praise the name of the Lord. Now I want you to stretch your hands towards this oil prophetically. Let's agree as a family of faith. Father, you called for this in the name that is above all names. I decree and declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead that this oil, even though ordinary, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit, particularly for preservation, let it come upon it, O God, that every head and every hand that this comes upon, in the name of Jesus, we activate the mystery of divine supernatural preservation. We activate the mystery of divine and supernatural preservation. That everyone who receives this, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you will be so preserved by the power of God for you and for your children. But then in addition to preservation, I am praying whatever is wrong in your life and your destiny, hear me, by the God of heaven, as this oil comes upon your head and comes upon your hand by prophecy, let it become an oil of judgments to every evil. Let it be an oil of vengeance to every evil. That whatever has refused to let you go, at the instance of this oil, its end comes now. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, I declare it anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare it anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. 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 In the name of Jesus the Christ. Please help me. In the name that is above all names. So here's what will happen. Worship team, please be prepared to lead us through sessions of worship while we are doing this. Please, let there be law and order in the house of God. I need to say this now. Respect all those who are functioning and just walk within the boundaries of what you are given. Number two, please, I know that we are a crowd of people here inside and outside. Please make sure you pay attention to your valuables as you come in and out. We cannot guarantee that it is everybody who is here that is saved. I'm going to make the altar call. And then when I make the altar call, very quickly, because remember, the key number one is your salvation. There are people here who are saying, Apostle, I really desire preservation. I've gone through cycles of pain. Please stand. Please stand. Please stand. Be patient. And you are saying, Apostle, right now as it is, I know that I need Jesus. I do not want to waste my time engaging something that will not bring me profit. Wherever you are, please let me call upon you. Or you are saying, Apostle, I need restoration to my Christian life. We have just 1 minute for you so that you will join us quickly. Don't waste this moment. Wherever you are, please walk to the front quickly. Koinonia, celebrate them as they come. Come to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. This is family for you. The Lord is calling you. Come. Come. All the overflows, you can walk to your LED screens and just stand there. God bless you. Let's celebrate them for this great courage. I know many of you are coming because you are tired. The Bible says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. Come to him very quickly. Don't stop clapping. Let's celebrate them. Let's appreciate them as they come. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much. I appreciate every one of you for coming to make this noble decision. Please, if you are joining them, can you double up? Let's make it very fast. Thank you for coming. Listen, let me tell you this. It pays to love Jesus, to receive of his life, and to hand over your entire life to him. You never lose with Jesus. With Jesus, you are a winner. In this life and even in the life hereafter. Lift your right hand with me, ladies and gentlemen, and I want you to pray this. Let it be from the depth of your heart. If you are praying in your home, praying online, please join us as we pray. This is a call to total surrender. Say after me, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe, come, join them. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. Tonight, I declare that I believe you as Savior, as Lord, and as King over my life and my destiny. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I declare that from today, I am a recipient of eternal life. I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you so much for these ones that you have brought to yourself. You have brought them by your Spirit to keep them, to build them, to lift them. They have come unashamed to make this declaration. And scripture declares that whoever will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. Therefore, by the authority of scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. And in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, I declare right now that you are recipients of the life of God. In the name of Jesus, I commend you to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I commend you to the word. I declare that you are established and you are grounded in righteousness. You go forward ever and backward never. Everything that has come with your past, your foundation that came with yesterday, I separate you from it forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for making this noble decision. Now, please look at me. Thank you. I want you to just very quickly be careful with the cranes, the base of the cranes. I want you to follow the counselors. They are waving their placards. In 1 minute, they will have your details and you'll be back very quickly to join us in the impartation. God bless you. Let's celebrate them as they go. Praise the name of the Lord. Sorry, just giving a few instructions. We're going to be praying in the spirit, and when I put the oil, it will be distributed. We'll have a few ministers. May I please request that in doing so, let me plead with Reverend Akila and then Pastor Felix Bamerin, since they are here. They'll be duly communicated how they will help us. Now, let me just give you direction. The protocol and the ushers will direct you, but wherever you are, once we're done, you just walk to the front very quickly. Once you walk to the front, just touch the oil. Your head, a symbol of your glory. Your hands, a symbol of your productivity. You go back to your seat and open fire. You are praying until we're done. Praise the name of the Lord. So your head, your hands, and then you do it by faith. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, various leaders and ministers have been contacted to assist us. Please, if and when you are contacted, we have to do this very fast now. The oil will be gotten to you. For this auditorium, I've already told them. Are you directing them? Okay, so we have Pastor Jakes, Reverend Akila, and Pastor Felix Bamerin, all of the others. Just spread them across the overflow. So we'll do that very, very fast. In the name of Jesus, I'll need someone to come and help me so that I can pour. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you praying? Don't just watch. This that is coming upon my head, you can distribute it now. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Someone please come and assist them. There are too few here. I'll prompt us as we start. Just a moment. In the name of Jesus. So we decree and declare. Let the ministers, the leaders will, they will turn and hold the oil. Let it be from the hands of the leaders, please. Victor, are you directing them? Very quickly, please. Just pick it, take it down. Please, you can start moving to your various stations. Let's do it fast now. If you're going out, please go out very quickly, please. Those going outside, do so now. There will be someone standing at the various points with extra oil so that if and when these ones are exhausted. Father, we bless you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Let this be a release indeed for your people. by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, someone, hold on. Excuse me. Okay, yes, Pastor Jake. So what will happen, Pastor Jake, please help us. Those in front, you can just walk to them, let them have theirs, and then we'll start doing the general call now. Praise the Lord. One, at least a protocol person, you can take one of these jars and be sure so that when one is finishing very quickly, we have someone standing. We have to finish this in the next 10 minutes, please, so that we can pray. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Father, we give you all the praise. As you come to touch it, I want you to believe by faith that this will be the beginning of a new season. Go ahead. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Just touch it, your hand, your head, and then quickly, please. Quickly, quickly, quickly. As you touch it, you go back, you begin to pray, declaring preservation upon your life and destiny.
Ebenezer, 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 not suffer my person to be moved. I carry your power everywhere. Who am I? Your mind is so full of me. I'm just a pure
quickly, please. Let's, once you have touched the oil, please keep moving. Let's hurry up. Let's redeem time. Very quickly. Very quickly. Go back and then you are praying. Go back and then you are praying. Go back and then you are praying. Just touch the oil by faith. Very quickly. Just help those under the anointing.
Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, I, hey, I, hey, hey, I, hey, I, hey,
help that person under the anointing.
Hey, I, hey, I, hey, I, hey, hey.
I'm about to speak. Fire is falling in this place. Some of you, you may not know what has come on your body is translating into fire. Believe me when I tell you this. There are things in your body that must go. It's time for them to go now. Just pray in the spirit in 1 minute. I'm about to speak over your life. Everything that is not consistent with the character of Christ in your life and destiny, now is the time it must leave. Are we done? Let me know when we're done so that I can begin speaking. Hallelujah. Please listen. These are mysteries in the kingdom for supernatural preservation. Now I want to pray. Just help those under the anointing as I pray. You don't have to bring them out, but I want to pray now. If there's need to bring them out, I'll bring them, please. Just 5 minutes of prophetic declarations and we're done. Please pay attention. Now, everyone here connected to anything that has to do with ancestry, anything that has to do with bloodline, everything that seems to have a legal hold over your life, right now in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, at the count of three, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, it will consume that devil now. One, two, help them. Three, be free now. Be free over you. Let that spirit leave your destiny now. Hear me. Anyone here who is in ministry particularly, and it looks like the more the ministry is extending in age, the more everything is going down. Whether in membership, whether in impact, whether in visibility. You may be following online. I'm standing here under the corporate anointing with all the servants of God here. And we decree and declare, whatever makes ministry a frustrating adventure for you, that it looks like you are called, but nothing in your life shows that you are called, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, we curse that spirit now. The same applies to business. The same applies to career. Your tomorrow, I repeat, should never, never be worse than yesterday. Now hear me. If there is anyone here who is struggling with any terminal disease, particularly something that is already eating you up, that is already plunging you towards death, or anyone here having dreams and all you keep seeing are dead people, dead relatives, people who have died, interacting with you or whatever it is, the living and the dead have nothing in common. Therefore, this night, by this oil of preservation, be separated forever. Be separated forever. And any human agent in partnership with demonic spirits to invoke death or pain or losses or tragedy over your life and your endeavors, in the name of Jesus Christ, we decree and declare, this oil upon you becomes an oil of judgment against them. Hallelujah. If there is anyone here that you have been marked in the realm of the spirit for kidnap by any terrorist group, whether in this nation or around the world, I stand in the name of Jesus as one sent of God. I decree and declare that anybody who stands by the road to kidnap you, I command the earth to fight them. In the name of Jesus, whether in the day, whether in the night, every devil walking through men that will stand by the road to kidnap or oppress you, may the earth fight them in the name of Jesus. And every manifestation of accidents, whether by road, whether by sea, whether by air, hear me, if you enter that plane or that car, then it will not crash. please believe these are not empty words. These are not empty words at all. Let me pray for your children. Whether you are there with them or not, wherever your children are, may this prophetic word go ahead of them and preserve them. Hallelujah. I think it was in the... I don't watch the news so much, but I saw something on the news or so about a young boy. Was it one young boy? I think it's in Nigeria here. That was killed, or I think... I hope I'm right with that story. I really didn't follow the story, but I said, what sort of a thing is this? I'm saying it again, wherever...
Yeah. Your holy name. Thank you because we know you hear our cry.